This is Channel 253. Channel 253 is sponsored by Alaska Airlines. I'm Nate Bowling and I fly Alaska. To book your next trip, go to alaskaair.com. This is the Nerd Farmer Podcast, a national conversation through a local lens. Greetings, greetings. This is Nate Bowling, host of the Nerd Farmer Podcast, coming to you live from the lavish, exemplary Moonyard Studios here in North Tacoma. Folks, it's the end of 2018, and if you think about it, it's been a long-ass year. And we're here today for our end-of-the-year media roundup. And just like last year, I have a guest from print, a guest from radio, and a guest from television. So from my left to my right, Andrew from the TNT.
Yes.
Welcome to the table.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate it.
Jenna from King 5.
Hey.
And making his debut, my man G. Scott from Cairo Radio.
Appreciate you. What's happening?
Very excited to have you all down here today. So I just want to chop up the news and kind of talk through what's been a really crazy year. There's been a couple of times like this week where I've been like, damn, that was 2018? Like, there was a World Cup this year. Like, the Parkland shooting, which is one of my stories, was this year. Mm-hmm. It's just been a long, long, long year. Mm-hmm. And so, Jenna, since you're the lady at the table, we'll be gentlemanly. Why don't you start? Why don't you give us your number three national news story of the year?
Number three national?
So number not the three. First one. Not number one.
Okay.
Go bottom to top.
Okay. I'll do bottom to top. Okay. So this one is somewhat entertainment, but it also ties to kind of national issues, but also local issues. Kanye West.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
man.
Go ahead, Jen. I mean, you could at least wait.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I ain't had breakfast yet.
I know. I know.
Which Kanye you about to talk about?
Well, Kanye is canceled, but please.
Okay, and I want to talk about both of those things, right? Okay. The fact that you said, one, which Kanye we're going to talk about, and the fact that you said Kanye is canceled. What is interesting, I think, is the way in which we talk about Kanye. And when I say we, I am particularly mean like black people and black and brown people.
Sure.
And I'm not sure that we have enough grace when it comes to discussing his mental issues. He released an album called, I Am Bipolar, essentially telling people that he is bipolar. I don't know. I think that if he were white, if he were a white man, I'm not sure where we would be talking about him the way in which we talk about Kanye. And I think that we're very quick to cancel, especially for men of color, when we're talking about mental health issues and how it impacts men of color, we dismiss it.
So we're
extremely dismissive. And when we talk about the rising mental health issues, even within this county, right? Even that this county, Pierce County, that we're sitting in, hasn't addressed, right? There's a reason. There's a reason why Kanye is Kanye, right? Yeah. And so I just think that yes, we can be critical of someone. We can be critical of a musician. Yes, does he have access to mental health help and assistance? Yes, he does. However, I think we should have a little bit more grace. And I think we should use it to have a larger discussion about mental health.
He weaponized it. He used it as a weapon. And he used it as a weapon to sit across from a man that is causing havoc on this country right now. Mm-hmm. A man that is, and I mean the man, I'm talking about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We're talking about someone who is, his agenda always is not about what's good for the country, but his main agenda is to talk to his base. And he uses that by anything, whether it's the players in the NFL kneeling for the anthem, whether it is Kanye West, see, look here, whether it's the wall, whether it's Brett Kavanaugh, we're going to be talking about that in a second because that's one of my stories. But when it comes to Kanye, you're right. You're right in the sense that in the black community, let's talk, let's get it real.
Right.
We are way behind with mental health.
Absolutely.
It is a problem. We do not want to get therapy. We don't want to get help. Black men, we don't want to go to the doctor.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And don't want to talk about
it. And we don't want to talk about it because we all got that crazy uncle. And usually the crazy uncle in the family usually tell the truth the most.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we just call him the crazy uncle.
And as a matter of fact, even if you're crazy, we look down upon people that take medication. Which Kanye? Because I have no problem with Kanye being bipolar. I have no problem with Kanye taking medication. Kanye gets on Twitter and tells the world he's not bipolar and he's not taking medication, which he is demonizing medication. It's okay to take mm-hmm. medication. Back to your point, I really want to highlight the fact that, yes, we are behind mm-hmm. as a black culture, black community, when it comes to mental health. My only problem with Kanye is okay, you sick, you need help, but you are using that to weaponize mental health, and that's where I have a problem.
And as somebody who actually suffers from mental health, a black man who suffers from mental mm-hmm. health, I sympathize with Kanye to a point. And the point that frustrates me with Kanye is mm-hmm. he hasn't, you know, you have to recognize the things that are around you. You have to recognize mm-hmm. the environment that's around you. Kanye has one bad episode. He could be breathing mm-hmm. Kardashian cameras all over. So we're watching this man's life completely melt down. We've been watching it for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And the issue is what he thinks is going to help him, what's his therapy and his medicine, are the Kardashians. Meanwhile, they're sticking cameras around. They're plugging stories in there. So what he needs to do is get away from that. Yeah, you want to go to Wyoming? Fine. Go yep. to Wyoming.
Right. Yep.
You know what? Take whoever you want, but cut everybody off.
Yeah. For me, the MAGA hat and the Oval Office thing is a bridge too far. Uh-huh. Like, so if he has a mental health episode and he runs naked through the city, mm-hmm. like, okay. But, like, the MAGA thing is just a choice. And, like, for mm-hmm. me, like, post-Charlottesville, if you choose to align yourself with Trump, like, I can't mess with you. I just can't.
Line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Line in the sand.
G, your number 3 story.
Whoa. Let's go.
it's like, how do you talk?
Man! Well, you know, Jenna brings in the Kanye. I hadn't even thought about Kanye yeah. at that point. I wasn't even thinking about that story, but man, it's such a powerful storyline to start with. Let's go Brett Kavanaugh.
Oof.
Let's go Brett Kavanaugh. And the reason why I want to talk Brett Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. it was so big. It reminded me, it was the first time that I believe that I had some family members who they called me up like, gee, man, you watching this hearing? I'm like, mm-hmm. what? You watching a hearing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know it's real when you got some people that's watching a hearing. So it was a real big story. So big, no lessons were learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the scary part in all of this, mm-hmm. is that the Brett Kavanaugh thing happened, and instead of it being that it happened, the story is, well, when I was young, no, mm-hmm. no. It wasn't right when you were young. It mm-hmm. wasn't right 15 years ago. It was never right. And I think we came away from that, and the unfortunate thing is the Me Too movement lost. It lost mm-hmm. because Kavanaugh was appointed. Period, end of story. And it's still the message is, we've been talking about racism for so long. Right now, sexism is just as worse as anything in the world, and we're not talking about it. And sexism keeps losing. Yep. It's losing. When Brett Kavanaugh is now, he's a Supreme Court justice. Do you mm-hmm. realize that I could not get a job here at McDonald's if I was accused of some of the things that has been said about Brett Kavanaugh? Mm-hmm. But Brett Kavanaugh is a Supreme Court justice. So you tell me, I don't want to get into privilege right now, but this man just did that. So I think what makes this story so big is, yes, we were all talking about it, but we talked about it so much, and then we got to see that this man was appointed Supreme Court justice and basically saying, women, you know what? That was a long time ago. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the thing that Kavanaugh highlighted to me is just like the rapiness of American culture, and like thinking back on 80s movies and like mm-hmm. how many of the movies of like our childhood, because we're about the same age, are actually like hella rapey, and just how awful male culture is. And like we haven't progressed at all. And like the thing for me is somebody with Kavanaugh's record or the accusations couldn't be hired as a janitor in my school, mm-hmm. right? But he's one of 9 Supreme Court justices mm-hmm. who will serve for life. And by the way, RBG's in the hospital right now, mm-hmm. which means El Trompito might get another appointment. And like that to me is just like, ugh. Like I almost feel like what the Trump moment is proving to me is that we have incredibly high expectations for like young black youth. If you cross the law one time, you can get shot. You can get incarcerated for 5 to 10 years. But for certain folks, mm-hmm. the bar is very, 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 very,
who's the certain
very
folks?
I think America in general is demonstrating it has very low expectations for privileged white males.
Mm-hmm.
Like a black candidate with Trump's record of anything couldn't win a race for nothing nowhere. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think I'm so glad that you brought up Kavanaugh, because I think that part of the issue is, I think, the way in which we talk about these things, and we talk about them as if they're like individual events, as if one man committed one issue, and we don't talk about the larger patriarchy.
Sure.
And we don't talk about he's part of an institution of patriarchy that has to be dismantled in order for us to understand these larger issues of sexism. It's not about one person, Brett Kavanaugh. It's not about whoever's been taken down, right, by, or quote unquote taken down by Me Too this year. It's about the larger issues. I mean, when I think about what I've learned is that are my men folk talking to their other men about the issues, about how to treat women, about the standards within the workplace? Are there institutional changes that we're even seeing within workplaces? Or is it just about this, about crucifying one individual, right? And while these individuals, I think, need to be held accountable, we're not looking at the institutional fabric that's allowed for this to even happen in the first place.
So right, Jenna, I caught myself the other day. I did something. One of my coworkers who I have on my show, all the time. I defended her on social media because mm-hmm. somebody said, hey, go in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. And I realized that, A, that was the first time I had ever defended a woman on social media.
Mm.
That's A. Mm-hmm. B, I realized that I have never checked, and y'all know what I'm talking about, I've never been in a barbershop and checked somebody and be like, hey, man, that ain't cool.
That's it.
What? Why?
That's it.
That's the word.
Why are we in that way?
That's
so it's no different than a white man being with his friends, and mm-hmm. they start N-word. Yeah, you know how they are, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But yet we'll be with our homeboys, and we objectify a woman and talk about her body parts and everything. But we don't stand up and say, hey, gee, that's not cool, man.
Right.
That's not cool. Chill that out, or I can't rock with you. Mm-hmm. That's the point. I had to call myself out and realize I ain't pointing no fingers. It's easy to get on social media and talk bad about Brett Kavanaugh, right. but can you look your homeboy in the eye and say, hey, partner, that ain't right?
Yeah. That's a word.
2019 resolution. Filed away. Filed
That's
away.
That's a word.
Andrew, your
Thank
number three
you,
story?
Brother.
Number three, shut up and dribble.
Okay. Y'all just going straight to the
Well, see, the reason I say this, as somebody who has covered sports for 15 years and been the minority in covering sports, because, you know, in the press box, when you're the only black person there, it's like when you see a guy like LeBron James, when Laura Ingraham said what she said, LeBron could have ignored it. He could have tweeted something smart. But he and a whole bunch of other athletes, especially the ones of color, took that and they did something with it. They took what she said and they, you know, LeBron was already going to create the school. So he created the school and, you know, you see what Kevin Durant's doing. You see what Steph Curry's doing. And it's not even just in for the youth. It's for women. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the column Steph Curry wrote for Players Tribune talking about women in 2018. I mean, it's athletes using their platform to be more than just sports. Look at Colin Kaepernick. You know, all these right-wing Fox News media people were saying, oh, Nike, you know, Nike's going to suffer. The only company in the Dow that did not suffer in the stock market fall was Nike.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he was the most tweeted about athlete, or second most tweeted about athlete in 2018, has not played since 2016.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shut up and dribble. It's, you know what? Thank you, Laura Ingraham. Thank you.
Well, but they made their point because they burn clothes they already bought. That's not a good point. That's just wasting money.
That was my favorite thing, watching people. They're cutting up Nike socks. You're cutting up Nike socks that you bought like in 2009. And you're going to show them on social media. You won. You won, Buford. Good job.
Buford reps Team New Balance now. So.
Right.
LeBron James built a school.
Yep.
Right.
Let me just say that one more time.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose, shout out to you, Jalen Rose. You did it too.
Mm-hmm.
You built a school. Building the school. I mean, in 1954, with my girl, she just now trying to go to school for the first time. We in 2018, we got black people building schools.
In the neighborhood he grew up in.
Yep.
Right.
Well, so LeBron has done, and I don't want to jinx brother now, but like everything right.
Everything.
Not one accusation of nothing. No, nothing, nothing, nothing. Not the Jordan gambling like whispers, like nothing.
That he we just, know of.
Well, oh, man.
I'm just.
Where's this? Where's some wood? Is this Doug, is this wood? All right, we're good. We're good.
So Barack that we know of too?
Yes. That we know of.
That's my man.
That we know of. That we know of.
Those are the only two people I need
that
y'all.
That we know of.
I need y'all.
To hang on.
Look.
We
need y'all to hang on. Barack, LeBron, please.
Jenna, your number two story, please.
Okay, national story. My number two national story is the wedding between Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
I like that everybody's posture got better all of a sudden.
Oh, and sorry.
Y'all ready?
Well, we had to get, you know, king and queen posture.
Hello.
Okay, here's another thing. I think what is really interesting, and maybe this is also a discussion that I had a lot among my black woman friends, mm-hmm. right, is that obviously this wedding and the obsession with the British royalty, right, has always been an obsession within the United States. But I think what was really interesting is everybody wanted to know how black is this wedding going to be,
yeah.
right? How much blackness are they going to allow or kind of seep into royalty, right? But it also was really interesting that I think that black women, a lot of black women, really hung their hat, I think, on this wedding, right? And it's this idea that we don't feel valued in a lot of spaces. And it's an interesting kind of idea, and I'm not sure I totally agree with it, but this idea that this black woman was chosen by this white man, right, to be royalty and to live this fairy tale within England, this slave-owning, white man at one point, right, is choosing this black woman to be able to be in this space, right? And so that's why I think it's an extremely fascinating story, and one that I don't think we've talked about in that kind of way. And so that's my number two.
I loved it. Loved how it went down. You know what? We don't, and I say we black people, mm-hmm. black folks, we don't talk enough about what black women go through.
Fact. Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is, and somebody says, well, what do they go through? Go to a private school at a high school and just sit there and watch. And you'll see there'll probably be about less than 10 black women that's at the school. Mm-hmm. There'll be the black athletes, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the rest of the school at this private school.
Right.
And the black girls at the school have a hard time. That is a microcosm of America. And what happens mm-hmm. and how hard they have to work just to even be noticed mm-hmm. and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the basic lesson of intersectionality. Like, they deal with racism and sexism at once.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, like, think of the history of American racism,
yeah.
the history of American sexism, and its present, and put all that weight on one population at once.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that black gal at the school, she can't do anything. Mm-hmm. She can't smoke marijuana. She can't drink. Her bar is so high that she cannot do anything wrong to be able to make it. So back to the Meghan Markle and everything and what she's done, you're right. Everybody wanted to see, let's see how black this is going to be.
Exactly.
We want to see, what are you going to let her get away
exactly.
with?
Exactly.
Now, but
can
shout
she
out,
be her full black self?
Shout out to my girl, may she rest in peace, Princess Di.
Right.
She kind of helped.
Right.
You know what I mean? Princess Di, man, she kind of eased.
I had no idea Princess Diana was going to come up in the first 20 minutes of this. All
you're right. Welcome. but you guys mentioned something, and I was thinking about that, you know, the representation of black women, especially with the British royal family.
Mm-hmm.
That day, I was watching the MSNBC coverage, mm-hmm. and on AM Joy, they were all dressed up. Excuse me. Five black women were on the set, all dressed up in British style hats. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, we haven't made it. But it was one of those moments where it's like,
mm-hmm.
we did that.
Yeah.
We did that. And that was, to me, was one of the more indelible moments of that day. It was like, yeah, you know, she gets married, but it was the representation. It was the praise of
yeah.
us
mm-hmm.
for her. And it was like, you know, you rooting for everybody black? everybody black was rooting for her that
right,
day.
Right.
G, you're number two.
Man, this probably won't come up, but the rise of women after the midterm election.
Let's go. Mm.
That was crazy. Like to see that. That was unexpected. It was something that, matter of fact, midterms, I got to see you. Was around. And everybody started popping up, and you're like, oh, they winning left and right. And we're talking about in states where they normally shouldn't have won. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, what happened? Why is this starting to happen right now? I'm sorry, y'all, but I like analogies, and that's just how my brain works. That's how I learn and try to figure things out. Yesterday was the 127th anniversary of the game of basketball made by Dr. Naismith and everything. And so there's a picture of Maude, his wife. His wife is sitting there putting the ball in the basket. And so that was basketball played on the field, right? So here we are 127 years later. But you got to think, at that time, they're the inventors of basketball. So at one point in time, a woman was ranked in the top two players in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So then something had to have happened to where they made the rules to make sure that women weren't able to play this game, right? And so they made the rules to where only other people, like men, could only play this game and get away from the woman. So then here we, y'all follow where I'm going.
You ain't lying.
And then here we are today, and we're talking about women right now, a rise in after the midterm, and it's like, what took so long? And now, Pandora's box, it's open now. Now folks know. Now it's no more comments on social media like eat a sandwich, right? Make a sandwich, those type of things. We have people doing things, right? No more will they look a certain way. And I don't want to beat around the bush. No more will they be 60 to 70 year old white men controlling the world, actually getting somebody in office that actually looks like the world, looks like our Thanksgiving tables, looks like our works and our schools, and those type of things. That was big.
Well, women are half the population. So I'm like, they should be half of Congress. They should be half the presidents. They should be half the CEOs. They should be half of the principals. They should be half, like that's how this should work.
Yeah.
But like the stat I use in class all the time is there's more CEOs in the Fortune 500 named John than there are women.
Ooh, come on.
Oops. There are more Fortune 500 CEOs named John than there are women. Like,
yeah.
Write that down.
Come on now.
And, I mean, but that should also remind us of who has the power still, mm-hmm. right? That even though we are making these advances, right, let's also be clear on who's still in power. Yeah.
The flip side of that stat I also use in classes mm-hmm. is that, so white Americans are 60% of the U.S. population. That means white males are 30%. But look at the power they control.
Exactly.
Like, they are the true demographic minority. 30% of the population, but look at like the levers of power they have. Your number two story.
Number two story, living while black moments.
Oh.
Now, you know, we had barbecues. We can't barbecue. We can't, you know, go to our apartments. And even then, we go to our apartments and somebody will go in there and shoot.
Yep.
Now, while there were some, you know, while, you know, social media jumped on it and made light of it, at the same time, there was still an overwhelming thought. At least to me, it was, we can't do anything. Mm. Like, we're always having to have, you know, our eyes in the back of our heads. We're always having to look around, and hopefully somebody is there to help us. And they aren't just looking over like, oh, no, what's happening over there? You know, it's somebody... So, sometimes we lack allies in those senses. And so, you know, those living while black moments, that to me, as somebody who is born and raised in Kansas and lived in Kansas for 29 years, those moments, I've had those moments. So seeing those and having those moments and watching people go through that, it's like, it's absolutely terrible and it hurts. But at the same time, we take that situation and we'll make fun of it. I mean, that what was it, barbecue?
Barbecue Betty.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have those moments, Betty. But at the same time, it's still a, damn, we got a long way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. I think so. And I think it's also like, I mean, I think it was a nice, I don't want to say wake-up call for white people, but I think it was a nice refresher for white people that we are always under surveillance. Mm-hmm. Black people are always under surveillance and have been, right? And that, and I hope these incidents don't become, again, just incidents, right? But representations of kind of the larger pervasiveness of these issues of us being under attack,
right.
Which I'm glad. I love the names, too. Love the names. Love the names.
Sammamish, Washington. I was out there. That's where I live.
Yep.
I'm embarrassed by this. I've never told anybody this story, so I'm going to share it with you guys right now on your podcast. I pull up to my condo, and I'm getting ready to go in, and there's a guy standing out there with his kids, and I would assume his wife, but I don't know. And I'm getting ready to walk in, and my gate to get in my door, it was open. So I kind of go in. He says, hey, I need to see, something's up with the lock. Can I see if your key works? And I was like, huh? Oh. Oh, here you go. So I gave him my key, and he goes in, he tries, he's like, oh, okay, all right, that's weird. So I grab my keys, and I walk in the house. And so I'm doing my thing, and it dawned on me like 30 minutes later that this dude asked me for my keys to see if I live there.
Wow.
It didn't even dawn on me.
Wow.
Here's the crazy part. Right after that happened, that's when all the barbecue Bettys and all that stuff, everybody started filming it, right? So here's my point. My point is this. 30 minutes later when I figured it out, I was like, man, I can't believe it happened. But it really wasn't a big deal because it's something that we've been living with all our lives.
Right.
But it didn't become really a big deal to me until I started seeing we folks start, you know, giving these black, being black moments. And so when that happened, that's when it made me mad and mad and mad. And to this day, I've never seen that person again. It's a good thing I haven't.
May catch a case.
It's a good thing I haven't.
But
so when you bring up living while black moments, I had to share this story that happened to me. Yeah. But I didn't even notice it at first. But 30 minutes later, I was like, man, I can't believe that just happened. But we can sit here and tell stories all day.
Yeah, let me see your papers. Yeah. Let me see your papers. Let me see your papers.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
Jenna, do you want to go to number one story?
Yeah, I was going to actually talk about Me Too, but I think we discussed that a little bit, so I'm gonna put something else in. The big one for me, and I think is kind of representative of how people consistently kind of vote against their own interests, is the murder, the slaying of journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
Mm. Oh.
And the fact that we still are doing deals, arms deals, with Saudi Arabia. And that people are okay with that. That people are okay with this relationship and have historically been okay with it, right? I don't want to make it seem like this is just unique to this president, right?
Yeah.
Right, but this is we've historically been okay with that. It's been horrifying to listen to the story unravel in terms of the way that he was killed, in terms of the way that he was murdered, in terms of the way that he knew about his own death, in terms of the way they dismembered him. And we're still okay with that relationship. And I really do hope that that is one of many things that Americans can hopefully arm themselves with and bring themselves with when they vote, right? Because these things are not okay, especially when we look at policies, when we look at historical relationships between the United States and other countries.
Couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah.
Number one?
I'm going to go with mass shootings in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with is they want to build the wall and they want to contain us all in where all the mass shootings and the killings are happening. Valentine's Day, that's when Parkland happened. Valentine's Day, Parkland shooting. And I'd say of the mass shootings, I think Parkland is probably the biggest story because of what those kids have done. David Hogg just getting admitted into Harvard. He's going to be going to Harvard. And they really took that platform and went ahead. But we're still having a conversation about mass shootings. And here's why I think it's the biggest story. It's the biggest story because now, right now, let's say next week when school begins, if another mass shooting happens and 10 people are killed, we're like, oh, yeah, that's bad.
Right.
So anyways, hey, man, what do we mean for happy hour?
Yep.
It's to the point now where we're so used to it.
It's a fart in the wind.
It's no big deal. Yep. I don't even want to get into how we treat our teachers and everything like that. However, we're talking about in the schools. Like, y'all, we talking about walls. building walls. In 20 to 30 years, our grandkids are coming to us and say, hey, grandma, grandpa, I need your help. I'm writing a paper about how you guys cared more about the wall than protecting our schools in the mass shootings. So can you help me understand? And if you're a grandma or grandpa at that time, I bless your heart on how you're going to have to really put into words and explain what we were doing during these times. And so I don't want to get away from the point, but I want to just talk about mass shootings has been the biggest deal going forward. And it's interesting because when they talk about the wall, I'm sorry, y'all, I keep talking about the wall, but when they talk about it, they talk about keeping us safe and MS-13 and the drugs. I ain't heard of MS-13 being a part of one mass shooting, y'all.
Fact.
I ain't heard of one. I mean, and if you really want to get into it and you want to start talking about who's doing things, who is doing the mass shootings? Mm-hmm. Who's doing that? Mm-hmm. Who should we be afraid of? Because for so many years, you made the black man with baggy pants and a hoodie, you made us the scary figure. Right. And so for so long, so many people have it ingrained in their minds on what the threat looks like.
Exactly.
And instead, the threat is able to walk around in trench coats and shotguns and make bombs and do all these things and blow up places, and still it ain't nobody got a problem with it.
And becomes a sympathetic figure afterwards.
Absolutely.
Because well, after being captured alive.
Yes.
Alive.
Which is the thing. Like
Dylan Roof.
Burger King.
Oh.
He was taken to Burger King.
What? Calmly.
Yeah, like this man, and I hadn't read, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't read the details on the South Carolina shooting because I knew it would hurt too much. And when I finally did, and then, you know, that this was months after, you know, the whole Burger King thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
No.
Like, I've never been so angry, well, until 2016. I'd never been so angry up until that point where you're just like, how? Yeah. Like, where are we at in society? And I say that, it feels like every 2 weeks.
Right.
The shooter in Baltimore shot two cops and they still took him in. Yeah. That was this year.
The dude in Las Vegas killed 58 people.
Yes.
And wounded 400?
Yes.
I think the
yes.
number is. Yeah. And like, they didn't take him alive, but like, somebody smarter than me tweeted one day that like, once we didn't do anything after Sandy Hook, it was over. Because like that proved that we were able as a society and willing to watch kindergartners and first graders be killed and not change.
Execution style.
Yeah.
They killed these kids execution style.
Did Sandy Hook really happen? Because somebody said a conspiracy theory.
Oh, now you're lucky you're stronger than me because I throw you out for that. But
right.
No, that was sarcasm, no, everybody. No, yeah, you know, yeah. Everybody, it just disgusts me.
Yep. And I think, you know, to your point, we have to start changing the way in which we characterize the shooters, right? Yeah. Yeah. This is terrorism.
Fact.
Yes. Fact.
This is terrorism.
Yep. And
period.
It's also demonstrative that terrorism can be carried, because I think a lot of Americans only understand terrorism as coming from a brown person or a Muslim person.
Exactly.
But like the I'm not a genius, but the root word of terrorism is terror. Mm-hmm. And these people are inflicting terror in communities for causes. Like, right. It's just silly.
So are we about to leave the national conversation?
Well, we can let Andrew do his number one.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'll throw it right back to you, brother. No, no,
because I want to get another round of shots on this next one. Because I'm about to just throw a bomb on this one.
That works.
Throw a
that
bomb.
Works. Okay,
go ahead. What you got?
I figured people would talk about the shootings and we talk about weapons in this country. So the one thing that, to me, the indelible image of 2018, which everything that happened, the separation of children and families at the border. Mm. That was, like, I'm not even a parent, but a lot of my friends are parents. My parents, I pictured what would you do for your child? You would do anything for your child. And then when I'm seeing those parents try and make a better way of life. The same thing people that from Europe all the way over. They were trying to make a better way. And yes, do they look different? Sure. But we're supposed to be a melting pot. And all of a sudden, we're putting kids in cages. They have foil blankets. We're using abandoned Walmarts to cage these children up.
Right.
And the fact that children have died, and Kristen Nielsen, the Secretary of Homeland freaking Security, she's supposed to be in charge of this. With all that's happened this week, she said in front of Congress, in front of everybody, I don't know the number of children that have died. Everything that's happened this week, that would be the number one story. The Director of Homeland Security does not have the numbers on how many children have died. We were sending babies on red-eye flights, to frickin' Detroit.
Right.
So they so because the media was all around the border. Once again, where are we at in society? Like, that was that image of watching children and parents get separated. And those reunions. Yeah, you know, we see the troops reuniting with, you know, their families. These kids did not recognize their parents. You had I remember the six-year-old boy was crying, and he's so frustrated at his mother because of the mental trauma that he suffered. And that's going to be with him forever.
Yep.
It's like, he kept saying, why'd you do this to me? Like, that, like, I hate to bring the mood down, but that, to me, that was the moment that I was like, I'm never going to forget that.
Right.
Like, it's...
In the revolution, yes, sometimes I do read what they say in conservative newspapers and things like that. They wrote a column talking about when the 1965 Act, when people were coming over here, they're talking about the immigration deal. They said it was different when people were coming over here from Europe and everything. They said that they were more educated and cleaner than the ones that are coming here from Mexico. So let me get this straight. You're trying to say that Irish and Italians, when they came over here already educated? No, because if they were educated and rich, they had no reason to come to the United States. And so when you have Ross Tucker and some of these guys out there from Fox News, they get on there and they start talking about them being dirtier, right? Mm-hmm. When you make the comment of dirtier, some equate that as darker skin. Darker skin equals dirty. And that's the thing. And you're right. When she stands up in front of Congress and says that, and the fact that that's, I don't know how many have died.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And she said it like, I mean, they were basically trying to get this out of her. They were like, well, how many, like, where are your numbers? And she didn't have the numbers.
She was incredulous. She was being asked. Like,
yeah.
Right.
She was just like, oh, well, I don't have the numbers for that. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's irresponsible.
This is your job.
It's unpatriotic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be this country of ideals and taking in all of, you know, all of the, we're a melting pot. And at the same time, we're just not you. Russian babies in Florida. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll write up laws to keep you here.
Yeah.
And we're putting kids in cages.
So we're going to take a break there. And when we come back, we're going to work through the local stories and also Newsmaker of the Year. This is Nate Bowling, host of the Nerd Farmer podcast on the Channel 253 network. Channel 253 is sponsored by Alaska Airlines. Alaska is our hometown airline. They remember the TAC and SeaTac, if you know what I mean. Just the other day, I saw Alaska running an ad in a local magazine with the tagline, fly like the mountain is out. If Alaska Airlines can be South Sound proud, we can be too, and choose our local airline. I know a few people who work at Alaska. I bet you do too. Sometimes I see them when I fly, and sometimes I see them out and about enjoying life in the 253. And what's awesome is Alaska's the best airline around. Local and the best way to fly, that's an easy choice to make. I'm Nate Bowling, Alaska Airlines MVP Gold, and I fly Alaska. To book your next trip, go to alaskaair.com. And we are back. Thank you for joining us today. By the way, if you're listening to this, I would highly, highly recommend, encourage, request you consider supporting Channel 253 with a membership. Our shows are free to you. Our events are free to you. But there's nobody out there giving a platform to these voices like this. And so please consider going to channel253.com/membership. All right, crew, we back. So I want to talk through local stories of the year, and we can air quotes local since, like, Andrew's been in town for 11 minutes.
right.
And we can definitely make some ties from local and national stuff. And so, Janice, we started with you the first time around. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I actually want to start with you.
Okay. Okay. One of my local stories, it's going to be from a sports angle because, like I said, I got here in, like, October, so I'm like, I'm still new here. And the plane, you know, being taken off and at SeaTac, I missed that. I missed all the fun.
but that was crazy.
That's my man just stole the plane. He had mental health issues.
He stole a plane, y'all.
How?
He stole a plane.
How? 9/11, do you do?
This man stole an airplane,
in
y'all.
The air. He stole a plane. He stole a plane. He did a loop.
And crashed into an island.
And he was in the air for an hour.
I just...
How?
Bruh.
How, like, Sway? How? Post 9/11, do you do that?
We can't steal a car.
Right? We can't steal a car. We can't have a taillight out.
My favorite part about that is, if you're talking about post 9/11 world, you go to an airport. You have to walk in a straight line to go everywhere. And I'm just over here like, do we need to bring the color chart back? Where we had danger. And I, literally, I'm packing up my place. And I see this on CNN. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that? I'm going to be moving there. That should be fun. All right.
I tell you what, for you to be here 11 minutes, you sure did drop the ball with the local. You came and brought it, boy.
He stole a plane.
I was impressed.
Talked to him for an hour.
This is all wrong. My family's going to be so upset, but this sure is fun. That's what he's saying. All right, he stole a plane. Now, can we just take it to the next step?
Please.
I had to get on the radio and talk and listen and have listeners be like, stop. He had mental health issues. He had problems. They are starting to talk about he wasn't so bad. He was a family guy. These were all the... What if he had killed someone?
That was the night of the Pearl Jam, like the
home
shows.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
And like that could have ended up very, very differently and very, very badly.
Yes.
And like
I'm covering it live. I was actually literally on the air covering it live.
That's crazy.
And it was crazy. Like I'm like talking like folks. There's a plane in the air. Be safe. What do you say?
Exactly. You know exactly. What I mean? And what if his name was Muhammad?
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
You're being way too real right now.
I mean, right? Would he have been in the air for an hour if his name was Muhammad?
We're shooting down planes now.
Would rules have changed? Because I don't think a rule has changed.
Come on, I don't think
a rule has changed. If his name was Muhammad...
Color chart's coming back.
But if his name was Malik...
If his name was Malik...
Right? Let's be real. Like, there's... Next.
That was. I'm gonna have to go to my number two. Number one was stolen a plane.
Oops.
Hold on. Just so you know, stolen plane. Number one was plane. I had it number one.
Took everybody's lunch money.
Oops. That's my black crib. Shut up, please.
There's some other ones.
Okay.
Another one that I don't think has gotten a lot of attention that did happen this year it happened in 2014, but the court case was decided on this year. And this was a young girl named Monique Tillman from Tacoma. She and her brother were riding their bicycles around Tacoma Mall. And she was beaten.
Yep.
By a Tacoma police officer. And I wrote it down, make sure I got my facts right, was Jared Williams. This year, her and her brother, they were awarded $500,000 in federal court after a jury found that they used excessive force and violated her constitutional rights, right? Award them $500,000. Tacoma Police Department said that they were going to review their use of force policy, and he is still employed with the Tacoma Police Department. The video was aired. We do have a group that is supposed to be looking at police issues here in Tacoma. I have yet to hear from them publicly about these issues. This story did not get a lot of attention at all.
And there was video, too. That's the crazy thing.
And there was video.
Yep.
Right?
I've never heard of this
story. Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you. There was video. And the video was so damning because on the ground, she is yelling at this police officer saying, I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. 15 years old. Awarded $500,000. Now, she and her brother, I did talk to their attorney when this happened, and they kind of want to be left alone and left in peace, which I totally understand. They kind of want to just move on from this. But I definitely think that people still need to know about this story because it hasn't gotten enough attention.
Police officers still employed?
Wow. Still employed. From last time I checked, still employed.
G, local story?
Let's go that head tax.
Yeah. Like, city of Seattle. Tax out.
So, let's go this angle of the head tax, the whole thing. The fact that it was going to pass. It was going to pass, no problem at all. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, head tax. We want this amount of money from all the business owners. No big deal. It's going to pass. Seattle City Council, they was all ready to go. Everything's good. Bezos says, I play chess, not checkers.
Okay.
I play chess, not checkers. Let me show you something. Hold construction, please. No, that is it. I just want to just hold construction just to see what you guys want to do. And it was, oh, hold on. And then, of course, like you said, the head tax was there. And then 1 minute to go, then all the Seattle City Council, except Sawant. Sawant was.
She keeps it real for good or bad. Keeps it real.
Exactly, for good or bad. So,
is Sawant the Al Sharpton of Seattle?
Oh, shit.
Shut it down.
Hey.
For good or bad? For good.
I'm just saying. Like, here's the thing about Al Sharpton and Sawant. There are some things that you might not like, but there's some things that you love. There's some things that you love.
Too real.
You know what I'm saying? But let's go back to it. Because Sawant, she ain't scared of Bezos. She not scared. She go at him. I'm going to go ahead and let that simmer a little bit. Man,
that's the best comparison of 2018.
I'm hurt everywhere.
That's the best one.
I mean, right now, if Sawant say, scary, 1,000 people are showing up. No matter. She can get a posse going.
I'm so new to the area, so I'm just learning about this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
She's a beast.
She's
a beast. She's a beast.
Water.
So, anyways, I just want to talk about the fact that, you know, this head tax and the tax, and of course, they address it as to help homelessness, is that it's the only way in the world we continue to throw money at homelessness, and the increase keeps happening. I've never been in a situation that if you don't do your job right, you still continue to get rewarded. Mm-hmm. You know, so the head tax thing, that's big news.
Stat I heard is the city of Seattle has the highest number of homeless people outside of LA and New York.
Yes.
Jesus. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's been, over this year, has been a 4% increase. Yeah. Even though I get on the radio and talk about homelessness at least three times a week because there's a new story involved in it, some money, some ideas and everything. But by the end of 2018, 4% increase in homelessness.
I'm almost scared to go back to Andrew now, but Andrew, you got another story for us?
No. After this, it's calm. It's calm. It's calm.
Break the room.
It's calm. Seattle Storm. You know, we talk about women in sports.
Ooh.
We talk about, you know, the Serenas, we talk about, you know, the Simone Biles of the world, but the Seattle Storm, Sue Bird, who is an openly gay basketball player. And that's the thing. It's like that demographic of women playing basketball. Arguably the best woman on the planet is one best women's basketball player on the planet is an openly gay women's basketball player right here in Seattle, right here in the area. And she's for my money, this is barbershop conversation. She's one of the 10 best American basketball players of all time, male or female.
Come on.
And she's doing it big at her age. And to me, that was so impressive. And I know it's not, you know, a big national story, but locally, she is up there for me, with some of the great Seattle athletes of all time.
It's the biggest story not talked about.
Yeah. Well, but and her whole household, so her partner, Megan Rapinoe, is the starting midfielder for the U.S. national team and the Seattle Reign.
Who kneeled and balls.
Yes. And she is dirty on the field. Like, she crosses, she's like an and-one mixtape with blonde hair. Like, she balls. Mm-hmm. Good take.
Thank you.
Okay, I had to move to my number three. I'm on my number three because of the plane.
My bad.
No, you good. You good. I'm going to move to number three.
I'm sorry. It's not every day you see a plane stolen.
Okay.
I have not recovered from plane Al Sharpton, by the way. back to back. Please.
Okay, so this is going to tie in this, and I want to talk about the bomb that you were getting ready to throw because I want to bring that in.
Come on.
And this is a little plug of a series that we did that I wanted you to be a part of, but next time.
I know. Off the air. We'll talk about it.
Next time. It's a series we did called Race and Sports. Mm. So we did this three-part series where we talked about this intersection of race and sports. We also talked about gender in sports. We talked to some former athletes. We talked to high school coaches. And we also talked to fans. And the big thing was that we do always talk about race and sports and gender on this kind of big level, but we don't talk about this on this local level, right? Where, drop the bomb, please, so we could talk about it.
New Jersey wrestler. New Jersey wrestler getting ready to wrestle. The referee says he cannot wrestle. He has dreads. He needs to cut his hair.
Well, and the dreads were in a net, by the way, yes. Which is standard procedure.
Yep. He needs to cut his hair. The coach is standing there talking. By the way, this is video, y'all. You can look it up yourself. The coach is standing there talking while the young man is sitting there in tears, getting his dreads cut literally by a woman that is standing there with scissors and cutting his hair.
A white woman.
A white woman cutting his hair while the coach stands there and he's talking to him as if to motivate this kid, like, hey, you can do it, you can do it, as you're standing there getting your dreads cuts. And I think for me, the story is this, not the racist ref. By the way, this is the same referee that in March of 2016 at a referees associated meeting called another referee the N-word. He was required to get training and sensitivity. You know how that sensitivity mm-hmm. training go?
It didn't work.
And it obviously, apparently didn't work. But the crazy thing about this story for me, I'm going to go ahead and point at us media at how we covered this story. Because this was the first thing that we said when we wrote about it. We said, wow, this is the epitome of a team player.
Wrong answer.
Wait,
right.
Wrong. We failed, and I say we. I'm talking about us adults. And I'm always going to say we. Because mm-hmm. we got to do a better job of protecting our children. Mm-hmm. We failed this young man as he got his dreads cut in front of the world.
Yes.
And where are his teammates?
Right.
Where is the coach? Like, what teamwork, real teamwork would have been the entire team saying, nah, we out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, pull the bus up, we out. That's being a team player. Not letting.
We don't teach the white majority to stand up for black lives. We don't teach them to understand that he is the team and that his issues are our issues. Mm-hmm. We don't teach that. And we aren't talking about race and sports on that local level. We are talking about Kaepernick, a lot about Kaepernick. And as great as he is, right, we aren't talking about what happens when someone is not filming that boy getting his dreads cut off. What's happening to him growing up? What's happening to him in the boardroom when he's told he's not a team player? What's happening when he tries to get a job, right? These things continue, right? And a lot of times they're experienced on the field, on the court. And we're not talking about them on that local level. So that's why I wanted to drop that bomb in there. And that's what we discussed. So I hope people will check that out.
Well, so like earlier this year, maybe it was last season, I went to a girls' basketball game. And it was Lincoln versus Gig Harbor. Mm-hmm. And I took a photo and I was like, Lincoln versus Gig Harbor. I'll let you guess which is which. And somebody's like, why do you got to make about race? And I'm like, I didn't make it about race. I said, I'll let you guess which is which. Now, the fact that you understand what I'm saying means you're making it about race.
Right.
I was actually talking about housing segregation, asshole. So that's there you go. G to you.
Paul Allen. Paul Allen died. And I have so many type of emotions and so many type of things that can be said about Paul Allen, what he's done. But here's the angle that I want to talk about. Paul Allen, Steve Jobs, died of cancer before the age of 70. Steve Jobs was in his 50s. Paul Allen was in his early 60s.
That's crazy.
And they have billions of dollars. And this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that something is going on where people with billions of dollars are dying before their 70s. Mm-hmm. And Paul Allen, I mean, they have the access to medicine that I mean, that the average common man or woman won't have. But the Paul Allen thing, the fact that that was a local, someone who has given a lot of money here in this town, locally here, and we lost the icon, you know, losing someone here who has done a lot in giving. And when you lose a giver, those aren't easy to be replaced, right? Because we need to continue to have more givers, and hopefully the Paul Allens of the world inspires others to become givers, because this world can't go without the givers. So I think that story, I mean, it's not a, you know, it's a big local story, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's not really, it's talked about a little bit. And of course, Sawant took her shot at Paul Allen as well. Shout out to Sawant. You've had so
fair
much
shot.
Action.
She
took
a shot.
Yeah.
She took about homelessness.
She took, you know, she took, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's, you know, both for good or bad, it's a fair shot. Yeah, so.
I'm still on Herbie and Al Sharpton. I'm Herbie.
The best.
So I lost track because I think y'all all had the plane. So have we all done the other non-plane local stories that we had?
I did.
I think, yeah.
Okay, so then...
the plane, y'all.
Okay, so we're the last thing we're going to talk about is a story to watch in 2019. So I'm going to jump in here, and I've held my fire. The story I'm going to watch in 2019 is actually a story of musical chairs that we're going to see happening. So with General Mattis stepping down from the Trump cabinet as defense secretary this week, there's going to be a push among the 17 to 145 Republicans with sense to run Mattis as a draft candidate for president in the form of like Eisenhower to challenge Trump. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to work, but there's going to be a call for that and a movement for that. And I want to watch that. The story I'm looking at for 2019 is basically all the deck chairs being arranged for folks running for office nationwide, mm-hmm. and how Jay Inslee running for governor creates an opening for Constantine versus Ferguson here in Washington State. Does Inslee get traction? What happens at the first debate when Cory Booker turns and tries to shade Kamala Harris and gets dunked on? Mm. Like, this is my story for 2019 to watch is, like, what is going to be happening in this giant race to replace Trump in 2020?
Yeah, that was I think mine is just the White House in general. Mm. That's going to be something to see, because you can tell that things are getting uneasy there.
Understatement.
The understatement of the year. Things are getting very uncomfortable. People are starting to leave. You got Republicans. You got Paul Ryan, who was all about, you know, just trying to be – he was looking out for himself, and he realizes – I'm going to go down with the ship. No, I'm good. I'm bouncing. Like, everybody's bouncing. And now in 2019, there's nobody going to be there. And I'm looking at Robert Mueller. An entire nation is watching him to see what he's going to do. And if by the letter of the law and what we've all kind of learned throughout this process, my biggest fear is going to come true. And that is, we're going to see the president of the United States led off in handcuffs out of the White House.
Mm. I'll be eating popcorn and gummy worms watching.
I will too. Mm-hmm.
I know. Get your popcorn ready.
2019 story to watch.
White supremacy.
Come on.
Charlottesville was not an anomaly. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 weeks ago now, a group of white men went into a bar in Linwood to beat up a black DJ and is associated with one of the biggest white supremacist groups in this nation. And thank goodness for the Southern Poverty Law Center that's been following them, because I don't know if the FBI or local police departments are following these white supremacist groups. But it's alive and well. And I really think we need to be watching it, not just black and brown folks, but I mean, white people need to be watching them too. They need to talk to their cousins, you know? So that for me is going to be the biggest story to watch in 2019.
I'll also point out that the folks who committed that act of violence in Linwood have ties to the Nazi tattoo parlor out here in Tacoma as well. Mm. And so that connection is there. And by the way, if you're curious about that, there's an episode on the Channel 253 network about that. And Doug, what podcast was that? Dang it, who did that show? Was that IWL? No, it was Marguerite.
Yeah, well, it's been covered on a couple, actually.
Okay, yeah, there's a Move to Tacoma episode that features folks from Tacoma Against Nazis. I'll put it in the show notes.
Wow.
G?
What to watch for in 2019 is LeBron James just set it up. Mm-hmm. He set it up on his deal, and he said NFL owners are have an old white man mentality in the way they treat NFL players.
Yes.
He set it up right there. So that so we're going to go into 2019, and that's going to be a conversation, because when LeBron talks, people listen.
Yes.
So he set it up. Well, we're going into 2019, and at the end of 2019 and going into 2020, there's going to be an expiration of the NFL CBA. So 2019 is going to be all about getting ready for this next CBA and when the NFL gets ready to lock out and how they respond. Never before has a player such as LeBron James been able to say, hey, NFL, this is what you're doing. And these NFL players, they look up to LeBron. Mm-hmm. Will LeBron's message empower these NFL players to really, when they lock out this next time, they truly lock out? Because the last time they locked out, the owners just play big bang, take little bang. You know what I mean? And play with them like, okay, we already got guaranteed money no matter how long you right. sit out. Right. This time, will they actually be more empowered to stick together and really create and make some change? And something to watch for. That's going to watch the NFL conversation when this offseason happens. Watch the conversation, because the Colin Kaepernick, they know, they've conceded. Right, like, yeah, we blackballed him. We blackballed him. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Barkley, by the way, just got a contract. Matt Barkley
is not a better quarterback than me. And if he is, not by much.
And you were mentioning that, and I was going to mention, we still have the Colin Kaepernick trial. Like, that's still right. going to happen.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
As much as, like, I've tried to quit the NFL, it's like a drug.
And
you try and quit the NFL, and there's some good and there's some bad. But, yeah, with labor disputes, especially in the NFL, Major League Baseball has always kind of had that slave mentality too. But the NFL, they've always had it, but it's always been here, we'll give you more football. We'll shut you up with more football. Now you're getting the biggest athlete in North America, I would say on the planet, but North America, challenging the NFL.
Yeah.
What's the NFL going to say? Right. Because it's been exposed. They have been exposed for this. I mean, they'll cut people off on the salary cap. They'll just get rid of them, you know. Right. They call it cap casualties for a reason. I mean, it's basically like a slave owner getting rid of slaves.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's what it is. And it's like, LeBron calling him out? Okay. And, yeah, get your popcorn ready. That's going to be fun.
If you want to join me in post-NFL land, I'm going to get you some soccer crack.
I like soccer. So it's...
Have you been to a Sounders match yet?
Yeah, I was actually at the Sounders-Timbers MLS playoff match.
The saddest night of my life?
Yeah.
It was hard.
That was maybe the craziest game I've ever covered.
I'm still...
And yeah, it kind of sucked.
Portland. Okay. So we normally end the show with a thing we call the five. And then what I do is ask five frivolous questions. But with this table, if I do that, we'll be here all night.
Facts.
So instead, I want to give y'all what I call the Katie Downs questions. This question is, what is something that everybody else loves that you think is completely washed?
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, man.
So it's worse than, like, overrated. It's that everybody thinks this place is great, and you know that it's not the business. And it could be a place, a thing, a person, whatever you want to go with.
Man,
that's hard.
It seems like our brain isn't ready for that right now.
It's like, for me, it's like, it's not what, it's... Which ones do I rank in order of the ones I hate the most?
Okay. Here we go.
Yep.
You ready? Facebook.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Trash. Easy.
Trash.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Mark Zuckerberg is a robot. He's literally a robot. And he's on there. And the biggest stories happen every single day. I mean, the fact that the WhatsApp owners just left recently, left Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it's not even news. So, Facebook, it's trash.
Take me last. I don't know.
Facebook is a good one. thing is, hip hop is so. It's like we all kind of have our own thing.
Careful.
Mm-hmm. He about to say J. Cole.
No. I respect J. Cole. Drake.
Well, I love you. Yes, sir.
Here's
we don't need them.
We don't need them.
We don't need them.
We don't need them.
Here's my thing. I like Drake.
Okay.
I like Drake, but he's in the same way I like Call of Duty. It's the same thing every time, and it's like, okay.
It's nothing special.
Like,
there might be a knife fight in this studio. It's nothing
special. I mean, I'm with you, man.
It's not that I'm saying I, you know, don't hate Drake. I'll listen to Drake, but I know what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, so, I mean, no shade towards Drake.
Talent.
Very talented.
Very talented.
But, yeah, just, okay. Like, I'll listen to Meek. Like, I was riding with Meek when he was getting shaded. And I'm just like, Meek, just hold on, man. It'll be all right. But, no, I mean, like, I like Drake, but, you know, I call them post Y2K babies. They will post Drake in their top five, and I'm just like,
oh, he ain't top five.
No.
He's at least top five.
He
can't be top five after Pusha murdered him in front of witnesses. Like, that actually is like the pop culture moment for me.
Oof.
Like, I listened to that song and like my wife took a photo. My arms are above my head and I'm just like, I watched a man die on the radio just now.
But yeah, like, I like Drake, but okay, sure, fine.
All right, Jenna, what's something that everybody loves, you know, is washed?
I mean, I guess if I'm gonna take two. I'm gonna take one from the social media, one from the music world.
Okay.
Snapchat is a wash to me.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Jenna.
It's a wash.
I'm too old for that. I am 39 years old.
It's over. 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 Yeah. It's over.
And then music wise, I'd have to say The Weeknd. A wash.
Yes.
Yeah. A wash.
It was never a thing to me.
Is that one good song on Black Panther?
Love him.
Yeah,
people love him.
They do.
Yeah. People love him.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Anyway,
my history of singing brothers is too long. Like, if I could listen to Curtis Mayfield,
right,
why do I ever need The Weeknd?
Ever.
I was just listening to Temptation Christmas just on the way here.
That is some dad stuff right there.
But the thing is, Temptations Christmas music has you saying, thank you, Lord. And then it's like,
and
damn.
Donny Hathaway.
Well, it's like, damn. Hey, Merry Christmas. I know we ain't talked in a while, but.
Have you trying to make babies?
We haven't texted in like 2 months, but I mean, Merry Christmas.
You up?
You sending them you up text.
It's 10 a.m.
Far from Kansas.
I know.
He's telling himself.
I just want to thank y'all for coming on the show. I want to thank Andrew for telling on himself.
Yes.
Can you tell everybody listening how to follow you on the socials?
Aham Sports Geek. Aham Sports Geek. Yes, I tweet a lot. I don't apologize for it.
I don't tweet a lot. Actually, Twitter is a wash for me. Sorry.
Oh, no. You just,
no.
Turn her mic off. Turn her mic off.
No, Jenna. Come on. Let's end this off.
You get no more takes.
No.
You get no more takes. No more takes.
Stop.
No.
Sorry. Twitter is the hottest thing out.
Okay. You get no more takes.
Okay.
I thought we were friends.
I'm sorry. It's a wash.
We're just moving
okay.
The G.
Okay. If you do want to follow me on Twitter, it's at jhanchardk5. I am on Instagram a lot, and it's at Jenna Hanchard. Follow me on Instagram.
At the G Scott.
I just want to thank y'all for coming on. This is obviously the most gully episode of the show ever, and just thank you.
Can we do this again?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'll hit y'all up. Honestly, like, if I didn't have to do a holiday thing with the family right now, I'd be like, let's get brunch. But. But the city ain't ready for this. Just bird gang on bird scooters moving through the city.
Love them bird scooters.
Wakanda forever, y'all. Channel 253 is sponsored by Alaska Airlines. I'm Nate Bowling, and I fly Alaska. To book your next trip, go to alaskaair.com.
Man, I don't want to say too much on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Man, I'm scared.
That's the work.
Because now I'm not on real. I mean, you know.
No,
I can just really get down.
No 7-second delay? No. The Nerd Farmer podcast is part of the Channel 253 Podcast Network. Check out our other shows. Move to Tacoma, the OG original with the Pod Auntie, Ob the Interchangeable White Ladies, Citizen Tacoma, Crossing Division, Flounders B Team, a local soccer show, and Taco Man.
And we are Tacoma.
This is Channel 253.